Sarvashtashtabdi Piyusha Sarva Vedika Sattvala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnatya Sarva Lokeka Drikpada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavatam Prabho Kali Tvantodita Aditya Sri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshaksharayate Sarvata Sarvisevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostute Madhika Bandhamat Sangana Madhagurur Madhmahadana Madhnastadaka Madhabhagya Madhananda Namostute Asadu Sadu Dadayana Dine Chuchatara Kaha Namun Chakadachanamam Premna Ritkanta Yaspura Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
June 29, 2010 in Mahaprabhu Mandir Melbourne, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, verse numbers 38 through 40, the explanations of the Vedic path. Vitor na nabhihridayad urnam udva mate mukat. Vitor na nabhihridayad urnam udva mate mukat. Akashad Goshavan prano manasas parsha rupina Akashad Goshavan prano manasas parsha rupina Chando mayom rata maya sahasra padabhim prabhu Chando mayom rata maya sahasra padabhim prabhu Omkarat vyanjita sparshat Svarosman Tashtabhushitam Omkarat Vyanjasparashat Vyanjitasparashat Svarosman Tashtabhushitam Vichitrabhasha Vitatam Chando Bishaturutarai Vichitrabhasha Vitatam Chando Bishaturutarai Anantaparam Brihatim Sujat Akshipate Swayam Anantaparam Brihatim Sujat Akshipate Swayam Synonyms Yata Just as Urnanabhi A spider Hridayat From its heart Urnam Its web Udvamate emits Mukat through its mouth Akashat from the ether Goshavan manifesting sound vibration Prana the Lord in the form of the original life air Manasa by means of the primeval mind. Sparsharupina, which exhibits the forms of the different phonemes of the alphabet. Beginning with the sparsha letters. Chandamaya, comprising all the sacred Vedic meters. Amritamaya, full of transcendental pleasure. Sahasrapadabhim, which branches out in thousands of directions. Prabhu, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Omkarat, from the subtle vibration Omkara. Vyanjita, expanded. Sparsha, where the consonant stops. Svara, vowels. Ushmaya, syllabants. sibilance, antastha, and semi-vowels, bhushitam, decorated, vichitra, variegated, bhasha, by verbal expressions, vitatam, elaborated, chandobi, along with the metrical arrangements, chatu uttarai, each having four syllables, more than the previous, anantaparam, limitless, priyatim, the great expanse of the Vedic literature, sujati, he creates, akshipate, and withdraws, swayam, himself. Translation of purport by the servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Just as a spider brings forth from its heart its web and emits it through his mouth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself as the reverberating primeval vital air comprising all sacred Vedic meters full of transcendental pleasure. Thus the Lord, from the ethereal sky of his heart, creates the great and limitless Vedic sound by the agency of his mind, which conceives of variegated sounds such as the sparshas. The Vedic sound branches out in thousands of directions, adorned with the different letters, expanded from the syllable om, the consonants, vowels, sibilants, and semi-vowels. The Veda is then elaborated by many verbal varieties, expressed in different meters, each having four more syllables than the previous one. Ultimately, the Lord again withdraws his manifestation of Vedic sound within himself. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami, in his Bhavartha Dipika, has given an elaborate technical explanation of these three verses, the understanding of which requires extensive linguistic knowledge of the Sanskrit language. The essential point is that transcendental knowledge is expressed through Vedic sound vibration, which is itself a manifestation of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. Vedic sound emanates from the Supreme Lord and is vibrated to glorify and understand him. The conclusion of all Vedic sound vibration is found in the Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Lord states, Vedaicha sarver aham eva vedya. All Vedic knowledge is simply meant to teach us to know and to love God. One who always thinks of Lord Krishna, who becomes the Lord's devotee and who bows down to and worships the Lord with faith and devotion, chanting his holy name, has certainly achieved a perfect understanding of all that is indicated by the word Veda, knowledge. End of the purport. Vrindavane ramanareti prasiddhubhumo tatrapi krishna balarama supada mule jnanam param paramaya krishna sudharma chuktam dandastu deva prabhupada namo namaste. Samsara dukkha jalado patitasya kama krodari nakramakari kavalikritasya duravasana nigaritasya nirasrayasya chaitanya chandramamatehi padavalambam jaladara shashivarno gopavisha kishoro sahachara gana vrindai kridamana vrjesho tata barajita vesho nilapitam varadyo jagata janana heto ramakrishna natosmi manchakalpata rubhyascha kripasana bhyevacha Kridanang Pavane Bhyo Vishnave Bhyo Namo Nama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What this is actually referring to, in many aspects, we can understand. There is a Veda, which is called the Samaveda. And the Samaveda used to be sung according to Chanda. Chanda meant there was a specific way of singing it. Actually, and all of it was meant for transcendental pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the purification of those who sung it. That's what it was. And the singing was dictated by those who were expert in singing, the gurus, like that. And they did so with great attention to the quality of the sound, with ragas, etc. Even as much as 400 or 500 years ago, In Bengal, Narottam Das Thakur was very expert in his kirtan style of singing with ragas. He would sing Padyavali Kirtan, glorifying the Lord with raga, and everything was synchronized. The kartals, the mridanga, etc. was synchronized. And the singing was also synchronized. And the idea of it was, is that by that, it is an offering of the devotees to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those that were rasikas, relishers, was able to relish the nectar emanating from that sound vibration. Also, Chaitanya Mangal by Lochan Das Thakur was a work glorifying Gauranga, and therein the acharya has written specific ragas to be sung in order to heighten the mood of loving Lord Gauranga. And the idea of the acharya's words is that if you sing it according to that raga, then the bhava in the heart, the mood in the heart, will rise in remembering Lord Gauranga. I remember in 1981, when I was trying to learn Bengali bhajans from some brahmachari in Vrindavan, Bengali brahmachari in Vrindavan, who lived outside. I asked him, now how do you sing the bhajans of Lochan Das Thakur? And he said, manmukhi, according to the mouth of your mind. And when he said that to me, I thought, that's not right. It has to be acharya mukhi, what comes from the mouth of the acharya, not what comes from our mind. But it means that they don't have practice in that. Therefore, they don't know. It means that all of our shastras, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads were sung according to Chanda, their Veda mantra. That's very strict. Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj and his devotees in Mayapur, they have sung the Ishopanishad. It's very elaborate. And like that. I suppose you've got to sing it a long time before the bhava will rise in that one. It's a little bit more articulate. Whereas Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita are sung in different according to the steps. There is dvipadi, two-step, or tripadi, three-step. Three-step basically means singing. Of course, you can also sing the two-step, dvipadi, Bengali. And it's very sweet. You can sing it high, you can sing it low. And it's really sweet. And basically, it captures the heart of anybody who hears it. But specifically, it captures the heart of those who are relishing the message, what the message says. It captures their heart a lot more than it captures us. Because it says, Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriye. With our blunt senses, we cannot understand the name, fame, form, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sevan Mukhehi Jivado. But serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, beginning with the tongue, Swayameva Spuratyata, he becomes manifest. So, all these different swaras, notes, swaras or notes, musical references, is emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with a view to manifesting himself within the hearts of the devotees. That's all. He has manifested the process by which he can be perceived. And out of his kindness, he's perceived through this sound vibration. In this way, he manifests himself for purification of his dibhinamsha, of his parts and parcels, and with the ultimate aim of re-establishing their lost relationship with him through that sound vibration of his glories. Those glories are non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by chanting and hearing those glories and relishing those glories, we, along with the chanting of the holy names, according to our sadhana, sattana iti sadhana, our spiritual practices are our spiritual wealth. When we do that, then we become happy. Not everybody's a musician. There is a devotee, disciple of Radhana Swami in Bombay. He's a Marathi music major. And he traveled with his Guru Dev's permission to Bengal. And he stays there roughly 6 months of the year. And he's studying music. Stays with the devotees and studies under these Rabindra Bharati University retired professors. They're in their 80s. They're in their 90s. And they're teaching him Manohar Shai Ragas. Manohar Shai Ragas is the original way that Narottam Das Thakur used to sing. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur was relishing. The idea of it is, Manohar Shai means that which steals the mind. Nowadays, because people are so busy working hard day and night for a headache, the public has no taste, the young people have no taste and no for such things. Therefore, all this knowledge which was previously passed down from guru to disciple in the villages of Bengal as something that was really necessary to taste the rasa, to taste the raga of Gauranga, of Krishna, love for Krishna. Now it's almost extinct. It's just barely there in the university level. And the professors that know it are dying out. One of the kirtan style of Srinivas Acharya, there were three. One was Narottam Das Thakur's style. One was Shamananda Prabhu's style in Orissa. And the other one was Srinivas Acharya's style. These three. Of them, Srinivas Acharya's style is totally gone. There are no living representatives who know his style of kirtan. Totally gone. Narottam's style is more prominent in Bangladesh and Manipur, because that was the areas where he was preaching the most. Yet still, there is something. The Manipur troupe used to come and they used to dance and play. But most of those devotees, those Manipuri people, they were hired by Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. And they were brought to Kumbh Melas and different things to perform for the devotees. But actually, they were trained in it, but it was their job. They weren't doing it from the heart. They were doing it because they were paid to do it. That's how it's happened. Now, somebody who does it from the heart is a lot different from somebody who does it because they're paid to do it. There must indeed be some devotees throughout all the violence of Manipur, etc., etc., that remain Padma Patram of Ambasa, as Bhagavad Gita chapter 5 mentions. They remain like a lotus flower situated within the water that is not compromised by that water, does not become soggy by the water. They're singing the glories of the Lord, and they're happy like that, and they're aloof from that, totally aloof. If you do this stuff, you're not very rich. If you do music, unless you're a music teacher, you're not very rich. So it must be that those that are absorbed in that, either their children are doing something else and supporting their parents, or their children are off and their parents are just barely etching by with whatever the Supreme Lord gives them. Probably it's a combination of both. And such people that are just absorbing themselves in the glories of the Supreme Personality of God, and they're singing. And they could care less what happens to them or what happens to the world. That's the nature. They could care less. Such devotees have probably lived their life full. They're in their retired days, and they're just waiting. They're waiting when they can leave their body. They're just waiting for an opportunity when they can leave. They're just biding their time. And they don't care for what's going on, the insurgency, the violence, the killing. It likely doesn't touch them. If they're absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, likely it doesn't touch them. So that was the idea of the Acharyas. Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu, etc. Manohar Shai Kirtan. The Kirtan actually steals the mind in such a way that the devotee ultimately becomes transcendental to the whole material world. They could care less. The sound vibration becomes their food. When you're young, you maintain the body with whatever you can, and you eat whatever you can, and like that, right? Whatever's available. You got rich chala vishushanto. You're satisfied with gain that comes of its own accord, as Bhagavad Gita mentions. Later on, we can't digest it anymore. It just doesn't work anymore. Then what is supposed to be your prasadam? Rama nama ladua krishnanama ghi. Hari nama kandakir gauri gauri piya. This is supposed to be the food. That Rama's name is like a laddu. Krishna's name is just like ghee. And the Hari nam is like sweet rice mixed with camphor. Now put it all together and drink it. Radha's name. Hari is Mother Hara. And she's with Krishna. Or she's with Rama. It depends how you look at it. The Maha Mantra, when you look at it, it's basically Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing it, that Ramayati, in this case, becomes Radhika Ramayati. Yeah? That Hare Krishna would then mean that, O Krishna and O Radha, who enjoys Krishna, who is relishing Krishna, please give us some service. Please help us understand you. So that's one way of looking at it. If you look at it from another perspective, Hare Krishna is Radha Krishna with his gopis, and Hari Rama is Balarama with his gopis. That is hardly seen nowadays, because people... Balaram has basically covered his glories. I wonder if he does it on purpose. Not to to cause any disturbance in the glories of his brother. He covers it. He covers it. But nonetheless, Chaitanya Bhagavat described early on that in Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, Gadadhar Das was accompanying Nityananda Prabhu from Orissa, from Puri to Orissa, back to Bengal. They were, with the Dwadasha Gopalas, they were going to Bengal, and they passed through Panihati, where Raga Pandit lived. And there, in the commentary, and Vrindavan Das Thakur says that Gadadhar Das, he's not a Sakha. In the commentary, in the Gaudiya Bhashya commentary of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he mentions that Gadadhar Das in Chaitanya Leela, according to Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, is Paramananda Sakhi, the foremost of the girlfriends of Balarama. He used to be in ecstasy sometimes in his bhava in Navadvip, and he would take a clay pot of Ganges water. And he would say, if anybody wants to take some yogurt, they can buy it from me. It's quite interesting. In bhava, absorbed in Sakhi bhava, like that. But this personality is the only name of the associates of Lord Balarama, the female associates of Lord Balarama that I have ever found. What does she look like? Not a clue. Who was her friends? Not a clue. Nothing. A lot of things are hidden. When I talked with different Gaudiya Vaishnavas about it, they said, you should be happy that you have what you have about Krishna and Balarama in Bengali. And I said, how is that? The 12 Gopalas, they didn't write anything, or their followers? He said, you may be looking at the only thing in Bengali about Krishna and Balarama in our Sampradaya. How is that? I asked him. He explained to me that when the Mughals attacked Kashi, Varanasi, there is the Kashi Mahatmyam, the glories of that city, where it says that when the Mughals attacked, the fires burning libraries went on for 3 years nonstop. And the different teachers of Vedic sciences, Nyaya, Vishishta, this, that, the other thing, they had their disciples smuggle out manuscripts through the forest, and they went to South India, and that's what remains. What the Mughals didn't get, that's what remains. So they burnt up so many libraries. As a result, this knowledge is lost. They killed so many sadhus. They broke so many mandirs. They burnt so many pattas. They killed so many Brahmins. This is reality. This is exactly what they did. They looted so many deities. They even took some of the deities. They were marble deities or something. They would put them down. They would build a mosque. And they took the marble deities and they put them in the doorway on the floor so that the people walking in would step all over them. They actually did that. And nowadays, when you're talking about 500 years, 600 years, they argue back and forth whether we should put the mandir back. When they archaeologically can prove that a mandir was built there and originally established there, they argue whether we should put it back. So much water has gone under the bridge. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from His own mouth, from His own heart, manifests His glories, the process by which He can be perceived. And He does so out of great love and affection for His parts and parcels, for their purification, so that they may achieve Him. He helps us in all respects. And He doesn't give up. He never gives up. We are covered by our low-class birth. We may be covered by our samskaras, our indelible impressions of our bad association before we met the devotees. And indeed, undoubtedly, we are stopped, ruddha, because of offenses to devotees and to the holy name that we have committed in our previous lives. Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. Nonetheless, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the well-wisher of every single devotee, and He does not stop His affection. What are we supposed to do? We should rise beyond our conditioned self. The process for rising beyond our conditioned self is this process that our acharyas have given us, headed by the holy name of Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the literatures. We should relish them. Seeing about the destruction brought on by the Mughals, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Sri Krishna Samhita, where he gives basically a chronological history of Indian culture, he was doing it to try to convince the rationalists, the atheistic rationalists that were going to the college educational system in Bengal at the time, to appreciate Indian culture. And he said There, I remember reading. Kind of dry, academic stuff. If you didn't go to college, I didn't go to college, then it's kind of dry. It doesn't really satisfy your heart. But he said something which did resonate, and I remember. He said, it was very good that the British came along in 1756 and kicked Shah Zafar Bahadur out of Delhi and exiled him to Burma, where he died, and killed his sons, the heirs. It's good that the British did that. Otherwise, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, they might have succeeded in finishing off the rest of Vedic culture. That was interesting. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur referred to that. It was interesting what he was saying there. So his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, said that if all the Shastras of the world were gone and there was only Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, it would be sufficient. If Srimad Bhagavatam was not available to us, and only we had Chaitanya Charitamrita, it would still be sufficient, he said, for perfection. So our Gurudev, the founder and charge of ISKCON, is so kind to us all as a legacy. He's given us Srimad Bhagavatam. He's given us Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's given us Bhagavad Gita as it is. And because he did not know he would live long enough, he gave us Krishna book. Now, by the grace of his disciples, we can compare Krishna book, line by line, to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, and see where the shloka leaves off and where Prabhupada's purport goes further. Prabhupada commented in the introduction of the Krishna book that this book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with other works like Vishwanath Chakravartipad's Krishna Bhavanamrita Mahakavya, they're actually solace for devotees burning in the fire of separation from Krishna here in this material world. Our only business is to drink these and memorize these. I know there was a god brother that died giving up his body. He got in an allocation between his sister and two men that were fighting over his sister. And one of those men, in anger, because anger is very, very difficult to subdue, when lust is not satisfied, anger becomes manifest. Bhagavad Gita says, Krodhara bhavati samohat, samohat smriti vibhramat, smriti brimsat, buddhinaso, buddhinasat pranashati. So when anger becomes manifested, Bhagavad Gita says, chapter 2, that Krodhara bhavati samohat, they become bewildered. Samohat smriti vibhramat. And when bewilderment comes, smriti vibhramat, you cannot remember what is sane, what is realistic. Smriti vibhramat, you cannot remember what is normal, what is sane. You act crazily. Smriti brimsad buddhina aso. When you forget what is normal, what is natural, you lose your intelligence. And buddhina ashat pranashati, when intelligence becomes destroyed, finished. So basically, Rudra, you have Lord Shiva's energy of destruction. So, due to anger, one of the suitors of this devotee's sister got angry. He was going to fight with the other rival. And this god brother stepped in between the two to try to protect one jiva from fighting and killing another jiva. And anger, being prevented from what he wanted to do, the person plunged the knife in the heart of this god brother. So, and this god brother knocked him out with one punch after that, but he was mortally wounded. Blood was gushing out of his heart. Then some devotee grabbed him, his friend, and put him in the car. We're going to go to the hospital. But Evidently, an aorta or some functional artery was cut, and blood was pouring out of the devotee's body. So the driver told his friend, "You better think of Krishna now. I don't think we're going to make it in time to the hospital to save you." That was prophetic. That was Krishna. So this godbrother, he was very nicely absorbed in Los Angeles. He was in the BBT. He was helping with the indexing, the manual indexing of Prabhupada's books, of Nectar Devotion, many books he did the indexing of. Probably they still do it. They still use it, although it's computerized now. They just took his indexing and they used it. They computerized it. He was so absorbed. He had actually memorized, as a new devotee, verbatim, Krishna book. What was there? And in order to transcend the dualities of the material world, he would speak Krishna's Leela from what Prabhupada had written. He memorized it by heart. So when his godbrother told him in the car that, "I don't think I'm going to be able to take you to the hospital in time. You better think of Krishna." Immediately, this devotee, mortally wounded, blood pouring out of his body, intuitively started to chant Krishna book. His mind started to go to his favorite pastime, the Krishna book. And he started to chant it until he blacked out and left his body from loss of blood. That is reality. I was asking around about this devotee once, and I came across the godbrother that knew his former wife. By the grace of that godbrother, I got a hold of her. She went back in time and remembered him. And she told me some things about her husband on the email. So the whole idea was this: Swara, sound vibration, emanating from the Lord's mouth, is ultimately for liberation. For the liberation of the Vibhinamsha, that they may concentrate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of song, in the form of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, these literatures. And when you relish it, when the science there is so relishable, and you relish it, then it causes what is called a lahari, a rising shine of happiness in the heart of the devotee. And when that happiness strikes you, then it comes out of the mouth as song. And by abhyasanam, by practicing it again and again, the song becomes better and better. That's the idea. I asked one pundit who was teaching in Sweden, in a Sanskrit college, Sanskrit professor, I asked him once, "Then how do you sing in Sanskrit?" He says, there's no rules for it. There's no rules for that. Traditional Sanskrit chanda, there is rules. But other than that, we're talking about like stavas of Raghunath Das, Rupa Goswami from Stavamala, Raghunath Das from Stavavali, like that, Sanskrit, Astakams, Dasakams, that they wrote. I asked him, "How do you sing that?" There's no fixed rules. Maybe there was fixed rules before. Now, we just do the best we can, manmukhi, basically. This devotee, this Marathi devotee that was teaching, he spent like 4 months of the year in Bombay trying to travel around with devotees and teach. And he told me that Rupa Kirtan, Raga Kirtan, many different aspects of Kirtan, Leela Kirtan, Mudhuri Kirtan, many devotees, they're simply not interested. They simply want to hear what they're familiar with. Then I told him, you're going to have to produce a book in Hindi detailing what it means. When the translation of the bhajan hits their heart, then you've got a student. You're going to have to select certain ones that will touch their heart and sing those ones when you meet them. If it touches their heart, they'll be interested in learning something new from the previous acharyas to the best of your ability to give it to them. They'll be interested. Otherwise, forget it. I said, when he told me that he was having difficulty because people are just... A man attached, the proverb says, that a man convinced against his will retains the same opinion still. It goes like that. So these people are stuck. They're stuck with what they learned. Old habits die hard. Can't teach an old dog new tricks, you know? So people are attached. If you want to teach them a new trick, you better convince them of it, that they really got to have it. So when he told me about it, his difficulty, he said, here it is, see, I told you, this is the proof. The proof that you have to put it in Hindi. You have to type it, the manuscript, put it in Hindi. And then you're going to have to select specific bhajans that give a specific topic of very much importance to that person's or group that you sing it to. Then, when the meaning touches their heart, then they'll understand, wait a minute, I'm hearing something ancient. I'm hearing something that's 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 years old, and I better listen to it. I don't know it because I'm covered with avidya, ignorance. It's for my benefit. Then they'll hear it. That's the idea. It will create taste. Because when the lahari hits you, when the happiness, rising tide of happiness hits you, then it comes out of your mouth as song. That's what we're meant to do. These songs glorifying the Supreme Lord. These leelas, this Sanskrit, is the Supreme Lord. It is the mercy of Rupa Goswami. It is the mercy of Raghunath Goswami. It is the mercy of Krishnadas Kaviraj. It is the mercy of Shukadev Goswami, Suta Goswami. In Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 12, verse 50, it states, in the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it states there, Tadeva Ramyam, certainly, it is charming, Ruchiram, tasty, Navam and Navam, and ever fresh and ever fresh. Tadeva Shashvana Manasa Mahotsavam, it is a perpetual festival for the mind. Tadeva, and certainly, Shokarnava, those that are in the ocean of miseries. Shoshanam and Rinam, it'll dry up that ocean of miseries for the human beings. Yadutama Shloka, Yasha, the fame of the Supreme Personality of God and glorified by the best verses. Anukiyate, the last word of that shloka is the most relishable and the most instructive word. One word, anukiyate, at the end of that shloka. Do you know what that means? It means the previous acharyas were singing it. Now you have to follow and you must sing it. That's what it means. Anukiyate also means to follow the singing of the previous acharyas. It means the tikka acharyas. So those who actually could read the commentaries, Bhagavatam, 10th canto, there must be at least 10 commentaries, maybe a little more. The rest of the Bhagavatam, there's a few prominent ones. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur Sarartha Darshani commentary is prominent. He's the Rishika Acharya. And he follows Sridhar Swami, Bhavartha Deepika. Bhavartha Deepika. That gives the light on the mood. Establishes the light in the mood. Bhavartha Deepika. Then you've got Vallabhacharya's Subodhini commentary. And there are a few others. Viraghava Acharya from South India, he's written. Madhvacharya, he's also written. They have commentary by Srila Ramanujacharya, he's written. So they have some. These are the standard Bhagavatam. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's also written one. Because he had a crew of his disciples, headed by Bhakti Prabodh Puri Maharaj and others, that were his writers. And they used to be his right-hand men. They did all the research for him and helped him do all the research by which he compiled his books. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also compiled a commentary on Bhagavatam for his disciples. When we read those tikkas, then we can know what is happiness. Many of us don't. We're busy working hard day and night for a headache. We don't have the time. It's not our karma. Therefore, Gopi Puranadan, Dravida Prabhu, and other great souls, Govinda Madhava, other sweet devotees in the BBT, they've tried to give something to us. Now, in the commentary here, it just states that it's difficult to understand it because Sridhar Swami has given an elaborate commentary, but it requires extensive knowledge of Sanskrit to appreciate it. In those days, Sanskrit education was. Kids learned Sanskrit. From the time they were five up, they were into it. Reading the commentaries was just like crawling. Like walking. Because that's how you walk through the Vedas, is the tikkas. So they did so. Nowadays, Kali Yuga has taken us over so much. We have lost the essence. How to walk. How to drink. How to relish. It's all taken away by truthfulness, austerity, cleanliness, and mercy have taken away by Kali Yuga. Every single day. By the power of Kali Yuga. But the most important thing is that Gornatai, Radhavallabha, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, and Tulsi Rani are extremely powerful. If it's a question of dake, it is a question of begging them. If they are pleased with us, they can remove any of Kali Yuga's influences away from our mind, if they choose so. Gopeshwar Mahadeva is also like that. Because the false ego that covers the living entity, the thickest covering, the false ego that I am this body, is controlled by Gopeshwar Mahadev, Shiva. And if you worship him as a Vaishnava, he can remove that. And therefore in Vrindavan, they worship him. How? By offering him Charanamrita of the deities, by offering Krishna's prasadam to him. He's pleased by that. And then you beg him, please help us achieve the Krishna, relationship with Krishna that we're hankering for in the heart. And he's Asutosh, he's very, very easily pleased. If he's pleased with you that day, your japa is crystal clear. Your Bhagavatam will be crystal clear. Your service will be crystal clear. Great. We need all the help we can get. When you're fallen, like I am in Kali Yuga, you need all the help you can get from whatever direction you can get to love Krishna, to love Gauranga, to love Prabhupada, to love the mission. Because everyone is an Ayaram, Gayaram, and Ayarani, Gayarani. It's only a question of time. We're all being swept under the carpet, smashed by the time, by the wheel of the time factor. And we're being smashed. And we will be smashed. And every generation will be smashed. And what do we have? We only have our beads and the glories of the Lord that we learned and the association of devotees. Now, it is our job to somehow or another, the shloka of Chaitanya Charitamrita is so wonderful that yada eka bindu pani, if you will just drop, relish even one drop of the glories of Krishna and Gauranga. Because so much is taken away by illusory energy, by the Kali Yuga, by the Mughals, whatever, their agents, the Mughals. So much has been taken away. So many drops of nectar have been taken away from us. Something remains. Whatever remains, drink it. Yare eka bindupani, if one will drink even one drop of that nectar, utfalita tonamani, the body and the mind will blossom. Hasi, they will laugh. Gai, they will sing. And kardiye nartan, and they'll dance. This is called a normal devotee. It's a fact. Why are we singing and dancing and laughing? Narottam Das says in one bhajan, I must be being punished by Yamaraja, that I cannot take advantage of such a mission. So when I look at it, Durjati, some residues from my previous bad association before I met the devotees, some residues from my previous life. How will we become better? We must grab on the spiritual master's lotus feet. We must beg to Gornatai, Radha Krishna and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, and take shelter of Tulsi Rani. There is no other way out for us. And do our best. Because we'll have to forget the rest. The rest will be stolen from us at the time of death. But I get encouragement. Like when I was meditating a while ago, there was an Ekadasi, Varuntini Ekadasi, wherein my godbrother left his body. I was involved in trying to resuscitate his health. I brought 6 kilos of goji berries from South Africa. By the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, he fulfilled my desire to bring them. I was 6-7 kilos overweight. By his arrangement, he cleared the path. And how am I going to do it? I have absolutely no idea. I did it. I brought him to Vrindavan. So I thought, yeah. So we're encouraged, right? Try to serve a godmother's health. Krishna had other plans for those goji berries. That godbrother couldn't use them. Why? It's not the plan of the Supreme Lord. My god sister said, let him go. Let him go. He'll be happy. We have to rot here in Vrindavan, in this world, for another 30, 40 years. We have to rot here. Let him go. He'll be happy. I gave up. He left his body. Varuntini Ekadasi. Later on, I saw my godbrother in Bombay, who was his gawala in the same village in America. They knew each other. I distantly knew him. He crossed my life a couple times. My godbrother, Gadi Das, gave me pictures of Prabhupada's visit in 1975 in Atlanta, and he happened to be there. He and I were together. Some black and white photos he gave me, my godbrother, Gadi Das. So, you know, I must have crossed paths with him 2, 3, 4 times in my small life. I was attached to him. He's an old godbrother. He left. So when I saw my godbrother, I said, Prabhu, I couldn't do anything to help him. And that, there's a guilt that you can't do anything to help your godbrother. Or your god sister, you know, you feel bad. You do. He said, you don't know? No. He had AIDS. Really? That explains it. Why his immune system was shut down. That explains that we couldn't resuscitate his health. How did he get it? Before he became a devotee. He got it from his girlfriend. She gave it to him. He gave it to her. I don't know. But what I did understand intuitively was Krishna used his karma as an excuse, as a vehicle, to take his body away when Krishna wanted and bring him back to his lotus feet. Whatever he did, this godbrother, glorifying Krishna to the devotees, was his saving grace. That was his saving grace. Krishna just magnified it. Any devotee that doesn't preaching, that doesn't relishing, we have our private capacity and our public capacity. In our private capacity, we should relish whatever we can relish, whatever we can sing. And that should purify our heart by which we're able to distribute it to other people. Everyone has got loose screws. Everyone has got problems. But by doing that, Krishna becomes pleased. And he will protect us. I'll never forget, it was probably May 30th of 2005. In the middle of May, I gave up my regularly scheduled preaching in Ukraine to run off to America to get a hold, to get association of Bhakti Tirtha Swami. My sannyas guru said, you can go if you have a relationship. My understanding was, relationship comes from hearing. Here's my last chance. I will get some nectar and I will try to distribute it to other devotees later on. That was what I said. My godbrother did not push me because that's his nature. Yatesita Thakuru, now do whatever you want to do. We should not misuse our independence. I thought, I'm independently doing it. I know you're not 100% pleased by it. I will please you later, I thought. By it, I will please you later, I thought. I went to America. Maharaj was a little standoffish in his bad health. And I did not get much association, I admit, for a little while. Later on in his last lecture, in May 30th, he spoke something to his disciples. I think it was a Sunday lecture, Sunday feast lecture, something. And he told his disciples, very soon I'll be leaving my body and all of you will have to take shelter of these senior men. So you put your questions to them. He'd answered two questions from his disciples and then he strode out in his wheelchair, leaving us to take. We had five men, my sannyasi godbrothers. I was one of the lowly ones there. And we all took two questions, I think, one question or two questions from the crowd of devotees. We gave them what we could. Then we broke the meeting up, and I went to the institute house to take darshan of Maharaj. Maharaj's servants had said prasadam for us. And he said to us, the cancer is giving me a lot of pain tonight. You please hurry and take prasadam and go. Then I asked him, what I'll never forget for the rest of my life. I said, how do you manage in the renounced order of life? And then the other sannyasis, hearing my question, they leaned in to hear what Maharaj was going to say. Then his eyes, because he's a humble Vaishnava, his eyes went big. And then he said, you're looking at one of the most unstable of all of them. When I was trying to get more stops in my round-the-world ticket, thinking I would cheat the travel agent. But what was I cheating? I was cheating my own body. Then I said, Maharaj, that's just what I need to hear. Please tell me more. Then he said, I was in West Africa, and I'd be preaching, and I jump on the bird, and I go to North America. Before my body gets used to the new time zone, I'm already in Australia. Talk about bewilderment. Yeah, Maharaj, that's exactly what I need to hear. How do you manage it? You may never figure it out, he said. Then I said, well, then where's the justice there? If you may never figure it out, where's the justice? Then he described it, and that is what I really wanted. He pointed his finger at me and said, you just try to make an example, to make an impression, an indelible impression on the hearts of everybody you meet. And if you do so, Lord Chaitanya will cover the bases. In American slang, English, cover the bases is like, it's like, it's a baseball slang. Covering the bases means the bases will be loaded with devotees. You have first base, second base, third base. They're loaded. Everything is loading the covering the bases basically means that Gauranga will arrange everything. Everything will be arranged. It will be destiny, daiva. It will be part of your destiny. That's what it means. The Lord will make everything favorable. If you try to encourage people to love Him, the Supreme Lord will personally take charge, because He promises, Tesham Nityabhi Yuktanam Yoga Kshemam Bahamyam, I'll hold what you have and I'll give you what you lack. He promises that. That statement in Bhagavad Gita is not false. Nobody can say the gopis, because sometimes Krishna, He doesn't surrender to them. Therefore they say, you're a liar. But when you meditate on it, Krishna doesn't lie. Whatever He says out of His mouth must be true for time, place, and circumstance. Somebody, it may not belong to the gopis because they have a spiritual body. It may not be relevant for them. Therefore they can throw it. But it is definitely relishable and relevant for some conditioned soul in this world. Yeah, it's 100% relevant. Therefore, I've got faith that Krishna, He does not lie. That was the idea. So Maharaj told me, Gauranga will cover the bases. It's beyond our hand. We can't do anything. Are we the controllers? We can't even control our own life force. We can't even control the hairs in our body. What can we control? We're forced, we're dependent on the material nature and the spiritual energy. We have to put ourselves under the control of the internal potency. They never give up. They will never give up. The internal energy of Krishna will never give up. Radharani and Balaram will never give up. And Radharani's servant, Vrindadevi, will never give up. They'll always be behind us. They'll always push us. They will cut through layers and layers and layers of ignorance. They'll cut through to reach us, the spirit soul, and drag us to their lotus feet somehow. They will not stop. Therefore Narottam sings that Ashray Loye Bhaje, Krishna Tyari Nahai Jaje, Arasava Marava Karan. That if you go take shelter of Krishna to worship Him, Krishna will never give you up, and everybody else dies uselessly in their karma in this world. So it was so amazing what Maharaj said, that if you try to make the impact on whoever you meet, that Gauranga will cover the bases. And when He said that, I thought, this is exactly why I left Ukraine and went all the way back to North America for that. Now I can hold that with me for the rest of my life until I die. I can hold that shiksha. This is sadhu sangha. It is not just a physical thing. It is when the heart is changed indelibly. That is sadhu sangha. That is sadhu sangha. It means that you actually take that sound and you apply it in your life. And to the extent you apply it, that's the extent you get. And the extent you don't apply it is the extent we lose. Sadhu sangha means to take something to heart and apply it concretely. To the extent we apply it, that's what vijnana, realization, will come. And we'll understand it. And if we don't, maybe next birth, what can we do? A man convinced against his will retains the same opinion still. What could be done? But these personalities, Gauranga, Nityananda, Radhavallabha, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Tulsi Rani, they are not of this world. And neither is Gurudev. He's not of this world. By His grace of His Gurudev, He will also not be of this world. They can drag us in spite of ourself, in spite of our karma, to Krishna's lotus feet, to Gauranga's lotus feet. They can drag us. So we should beg for them to please kindly don't give up on us. Sanatan Pad prays that Hanga Munchaka Dachin Mom, please don't give me up. Premna Hridkanta Yaspura, please become manifested in my heart and on my tongue with love of Godhead. That's the idea. So Krishna personally manifested from his heart all this music. And he did it so that his Vipinamsha can grab him, can be grabbed by that sound, and the Lord will use it as a vehicle to give liberation for the souls. And a lot of it is gone now in Kali Yuga. Still, whatever we can sing, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, like that, we should sing. Those that sing it and relish it will make advancement. And those that don't, they'll die uselessly, Narottam Das says. What can we do? We can only try our best. We can try to help Gauranga as a thief. You know, like passing out prasadam and harinam, like that. Try to help, because Krishna is so compassionate. He's a thief. Just help him steal. Other living entities love. Other living entities serve. Just help him steal. And then, but if his cause is mercy, beyond our qualification, he may make us a part of the club. Krishna's is the judge, and his associates are the jury. They are the ones that has to call us. We have to just keep purifying our heart and purifying our mind. And if we please them, even a drop, they may be compassionate enough to call us. And when they call us, then we can throw the body. Like we flush something down the toilet. It was part of our body at one point, but we flushed it. So in the same way, this material body, when it becomes no longer useful, throw it with no regrets. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was referring to in Kalyan Kalpataru about Jal Samadhi, where he says, when the body is no longer useful, it can be thrown into the river, and I'll be free of the burden to serve the divine couple in my spiritual body. Yeah. It's becoming more and more attractive. But as long as we've got life force, as long as we've got age, we should dovetail it to the service of the spiritual master and the mission. But when we can't do it anymore, and when the Supreme Personality of Godhead desires to use our karma as an agent, then he will invite us. Come with us. There was a neat story in Mayapur. There was a girl from Argentina, I believe. She came to Mayapur with some, I think I heard it was a multiple sclerosis. She had that disease. Multiple sclerosis means you can't walk. It's basically a neurological disease that's just destroying all the neurons in the body, basically. So she understood, my time has come. She came to Mayapur with her husband, and I think she had two children. At one point, and her husband was her caretaker. At one point, in her mood, she tells her husband, Prabhu, I'm getting some pain. Can I do something, Priyali? Her husband asked her. She said, I'm a little bewildered now, because Krishna's coming in the heart and telling me to dance, and I don't know what to do. A girl that's got multiple sclerosis is not going to dance in her physical body, that's for sure. Then a little bit later on, she smiled. And then her husband said, Priyali, is there anything I can do? Then she said, Radha has now come. And she says that you can say no to Krishna, but you can't say no to me. Now come on, dance. And she threw her body on Ras Purnima in Mayapur. Evidently by Radhika's grace, to try to join the dancing party. So this is wonderful. It is such a wonderful thing. There is nothing but optimism for us, all of us. If we just simply stay with the devotees, try to chant, try to do some insignificant service, it'll go beyond our karma, beyond whatever we could ever dream. Going back to home, back to Godhead, it's quite possible. And if not, it's no big deal. Shall I tell you that? Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead will personally take us. And his agents, they'll simply take, if we're not ready, then they will take us and they will put us in the womb of our mother. And they will continue us. They will protect us. Any devotee that's taken shelter of Krishna is protected. Any devotee that's taken shelter of Gauranga, taken shelter of Tulsi Rani, they're protected. The Lordship will personally protect us beyond any mundane relationship. They will use Durga as their agent. Their agent to serve. They will to give us the material body, to give us the material facility, and they will continue to protect us, will continue to make advancement. But when you consider that if we have to take 100 births or whatever it takes to become pure enough to play with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or serve according to our relationship, it's absolutely nothing. It is like a flash in terms of eternal time. When you look in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Krishna is embracing Sarupa, coward boy, and he asked him, "I miss you. Where have you been?" Krishna's hugging him. When will that day come when we actually get hugged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his brother or our friends? When will they actually call us? When will they actually call us to join them? To join the party? We should be patient for that. Whatever they say, we'll do. Whatever they say, we'll do. And we'll join whenever they desire. That's all. Huh? And until then, Durga will protect us or kick us like a mother will do until we're ready to surrender to the party leaders. When we're ready to surrender to the party leaders, then they will make some excuse and terminate this body and this material existence. And then we'll go back to the party to have real fun in our spiritual body, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. That's what we want. And all this stuff, the swaras, the sound vibration emanating from Krishna's mouth, is just to help us get there. You may sing or not sing. Try to relish it and make your life successful. Hare Krishna. Jai Gornatai. Jai Radha Balabha, Jagannath Baladev Subhadramai, Jai Tulsi Rani, Jai Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.